Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26 is where we're going to be this morning. And as you are turning there, I have a question for you. And you can even use the song we just sang as a cheat code to the answer to this question. But what are some reasons that you think that people might be missing peace this Christmas season? Dalton? There you go. Absolutely. They don't know the true meaning. Very good, yeah. What else? Why are people missing peace? What's that? Bills. Okay, yeah. Mature beyond her years, that one. Already knowing. Very good, yeah. What else? What other reasons might people be missing peace? Loss of family members. Yep, holidays can be a really difficult time. Yep, I see you there in the back, Vincent. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Not knowing, good, yep. Definitely. Why else? Why else might people be missing peace? Anything else anybody want to share? Social media. Hard to find peace there sometimes. It almost seems like people go there to pursue the opposite of peace, doesn't it? Yep, a lot of despair. A lot of news. It seems like all the news is bad news, definitely. Yeah, and you know, there could be a number of reasons, but isn't the biggest reason so often, and some of you alluded to this, isn't it so often about relationships, right? I mean, some of you, a few of you know about some issues with my extended family, which has made it really difficult at times, and it's hard to find peace when there's problems in relationships, right? Now, I'm thankful that with my marriage and with my kids at home, you know, there's something when you have peace in your home, that really goes a long way, doesn't it? But when peace is lacking in relationships, we tend to lack peace in our lives, don't we? When's the last time you heard somebody say, you know what, all my relationships are a wreck, but, you know, I make really good money at my job, so I'm all good. I've never heard anybody say that. I mean, when our relationships, if everything else is good, but when our important relationships are broken, our lives are broken. That's the reality. We were created, if you think about creation, God who is perfect and has an eternally perfect relationship as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were created in His image. We were created to have peace and harmony in our relationships. That's what we were created to have. And of course, this is especially true of our relationship with our Creator, with God. We were created to have a right relationship with Him. Notice, though, what everything about our peace has to do with it. As we get ready to read through these verses, I just want you to notice what does our peace have to do with? And we see it right here just in these first four verses. So on that day, and it's talking about the day of victory for Judah. So if we were to go back and read chapter 25, you'd see this day of victory, this day of salvation. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation is established as walls and ramparts. Open the gates so a righteous nation can come in, one that remains faithful. You will keep in perfect peace the mind that is dependent on you, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because Yah, or Yahweh, depending on your translation, the Lord is an everlasting rock. Father, we pray for the peace that only you can give. We know there are so many reasons right now that people are lacking peace. So many reasons that people think that peace isn't possible. And yet in you it is possible. So we pray for that this morning. We pray for that this Christmas season as we think through how we can just slow down and reflect and consider what's really important. And that would ultimately be looking to and following you. We pray that you would help us, that you would direct us, that you'd give us wisdom as we think through this short example of what that peace looks like. And that we would have it in our hearts because of your Son, Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen. So I want to ask you a question is just kind of a review question. Because I try to ask this every year, I don't always remember to necessarily ask it. Some of you might know it, even if you weren't in here last year. But what does the word, just generally speaking, what does the word Advent mean? Anybody know what the word Advent means? What does Advent mean? It's probably not a word we use very often, Right? I never knew what it meant until I became a Christian. Anybody know what it means? Or any guesses as to what the word Advent means? Okay, prepare, close. Coming. Yeah, coming a little closer. Vincent? Believing. It has to do with belief. Reflection. Appearing. So you guys are all kind of close. George? Waiting. There's an aspect of waiting to it. All of you guys are kind of getting closer. So it means the arrival of something or someone important. That's the general definition, right? So some of you alluded to that. Of course, there's no greater advent in all of human history than the first advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ our Lord, the eternal Son of God who took on flesh, being born of a virgin, right, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the dead, and who ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. So that's the greatest advent, is the first coming of Jesus, so that what we celebrate Christmas. And the reason we call this season the Advent season is because it was the arrival of someone important, the most important someone, in the most important advent that's ever happened. But of course, there's an equally important advent in the future when Jesus comes again. There's going to be the second advent. Right, his second advent is one for which we must be prepared. But how can we be prepared for the second advent? Well, we have to be at peace with him. We have to have peace in and through Christ, the one who came to bring us peace. So often, though, it seems like life is nothing but missing peace. And so that's going to be our series over the next 4 weeks, is we're going to talk about this idea of missing peace and how do we get past that. Because as I think Caleb mentioned it, anytime you see the news, it seems like everything that's being given to us, all the information we're getting is, no, there's no peace, right? It's despair. It's hopeless. It's without peace. We love our moments of precious peace, don't we? I mean, we love it. Nobody would say, you know, there was that time when I just had such great peace and I hated it. No, we love to be at peace. We love to have those moments of peace. We want those moments to last. We pray for peace. In fact, maybe even that should be part of what we pray for when we pray for our daily bread, that we pray for, as Pastor Dennis challenged us in his message last week. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember in the Lord's model prayer for us, how often do we pray, Lord, give us this day our peace in that relationship that's struggling. Give us that peace with one another in the church. Give us that peace that we need with you, or for my friend who doesn't have a relationship with you, please draw him to yourself and give him that peace. Everyone wants peace, but no one can achieve peace, right? At least not peace that will last. We long for peace, but our world is missing peace. And so today we're going to answer that question. We're going to consider that question. Is peace even possible? Depending on what people are going through, this is a common question that they're going to ask. Is peace even possible? I mean, with what's going on in my life, is it even possible for me to have peace? Depending on what you're going through in your life right now, you might be asking this question. I don't know. Is peace even possible? So my purpose in the message this morning, my challenge for you, is that you will receive and celebrate the only lasting peace, the only true peace that is possible, the only peace that lasts. This time of year, if we think about the Advent season, it's a great time, kind of a reminder and a great occasion for such reception and celebration. You know, we sing these songs. I don't know about you, but there's something about the Advent season that makes me think about peace more than I do otherwise. And I don't know if it's because of the songs we sing. I don't know what it is, but it's on my mind more often than it is otherwise. And that's not necessarily a right thing. That's just the reality that I'm admitting to right now. I think about peace more this time of year. And I think it's important for us to, okay, why is that? And what do I need to do with that? How do I think through that in such a way that I can grow closer in my relationship with the Lord and help others to grow closer in their relationship with the Lord? And how can I grow closer in my relationships with others? So praise the Lord for the Prince of Peace, because as we think through this time of year, as we think of the arrival of the most important one who ever came, Jesus Christ our Lord, how do we think through peace and celebrating, receiving that peace and celebrating that peace? So I want to consider 3 reasons this morning that peace is possible in the Lord. He is the reason that we can say yes to the question, is peace even possible? Only in him is peace possible, only because of Advent, and only because of what followed that Advent, right? Peace is possible because the first thing I want you to notice, the Lord is just. Now, we don't think of this typically when we think, how do I know peace is possible? Because the Lord is just. But hear me out here as we look at these first couple verses. His perfect justice is also why many people cannot and will not have peace, right? God is just, and our sins demand his just judgment for all of eternity. And so that's the opposite of peace. Praise the Lord for the first Advent, though. Praise the Lord for Christmas. Because Jesus came, peace is now possible. Peace is possible before and after the second Advent because of what happened in and through the first Advent. Peace, hear that, understand that. Peace is possible before Jesus comes again and for all of eternity because Jesus already came. And he didn't have to do that. If he didn't, if he was simply come to do what he's going to come next, then there would be no peace. But because he came already and because of what he did when he came, peace is possible. Consider something important when it comes to Advent, when it comes to peace. The first Advent of Jesus Christ was great for everyone except for Satan and his demons. It was great for everyone that Jesus came. The second Advent of Jesus will be great for everyone except for those who side with Satan and his demons. Because you're either with the Lord or you're with Satan. There's no in between. And so the second Advent of Jesus is great for everyone except for those who side with Satan and his demons. Why? Because the Lord is just. He is perfectly just. So you might be thinking, well, then why does God's perfect justice mean that peace is possible? You're not answering the question. After all, we know the reality is that we all deserve God's judgment because of our sins. This is a huge problem for all of us because none of us is immune to the fall of humanity that began back in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve rebelled against God's perfect plan, and it's affected all of us ever since then. So why does God's perfect justice mean that peace is possible? Well, that's why the full story of Advent is so important. Why did Jesus come? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus accomplish? What did he fulfill in and through the first Advent? Jesus came, of course, the reason he came was to rescue us from sin and death and the eternal damnation in hell that every single one of us deserves. All who call on the name of Jesus, all who believe in his perfect life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his victorious resurrection from the dead, all who turn to him receive this rescue. You see, God's justice demands a payment for our sins, and Jesus is the payment if you receive him. And so think about that. Jesus is our justice. God's justice is in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53 says it well. It says, the Lord will see it out of his anguish. Out of whose anguish? Jesus's. This is a prophecy about the Messiah. And he will be satisfied with his knowledge. My righteous servant, talking about Christ, will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. You see, it's because of God's justice and mercy that peace is possible. Praise the Lord. This is good news. This is the gospel. This is the reason for the first Advent. This was the promise of the first Advent. This is what he said was going to happen, and this is what Jesus did. So if you look back at verse 1 in Isaiah 26, Judah realized this peace by God's hand as a people. So they were about to experience this day of victory. This was a promised song that they were going to sing. How much more so, if Judah realized this peace as a people, how much more so will we realize and experience this peace and salvation eternally in and through Christ? We don't gain this salvation, right? This salvation is established, as we see here, it's established by the hand of the Lord. This is why we sing. When we gather together and we sing, this is why we sing, because we have victory, we have peace, right? They were singing this song here. We sing songs like Joy to the World that we're going to sing a little bit later this morning. Why? Why do we sing Joy to the World? Because as the song says, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. That's why there's joy, because of the good news of the gospel. We sing Joy to the World because, as the song says, the Savior reigns. I don't reign. You don't reign, and if you do, it ain't for long. The Savior reigns. Because he comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Well, the justice of God says that there's a punishment for the curse. That the curse is the punishment for our sins, that we are cursed. And yet, he comes to make his blessings known as far as the curse is found. Because he rules the world with truth and grace. So please, when you sing that song later, notice the words of that song and recognize why we sing that song. The expectation, as we see in verse 2, is that we respond rightly and that we remain faithful. Right? Of course, none of us is able to do that perfectly. We fall short. We can't remain faithful perfectly as is required by a holy and just God. And that's why Jesus' coming is so important for us. That's why the truth of the Christmas story is essential for our faith and for our eternity. The Lord is just, and his perfect justice is satisfied in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And that's why we who believe have the promise of eternal restoration. If you have a right relationship with the Lord, his justice is satisfied in Christ on your behalf. Right? You have a perfect eternity to look forward to, but only if you have surrendered your all to him. Only then do you have lasting peace. See, peace is possible because the Lord is just. And that justice is found in the cross. It's found in and through the first advent of our Lord and Savior. But also, peace is possible because the Lord is faithful. He never fails to keep his promises. The Lord is always faithful. And what a promise here in verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. He says, "You will keep in perfect peace the mind that is dependent on you, for it is trusting in you." You see, it's perfect peace. How is there? In him. Perfect peace in him. Perfect peace because of what we meditate on. Right? The truth of God's word about who he is and what he does and what he will do. And so the more we think about that, we think about who Jesus is, we think about what he's done for us, we think about what he will do at his second advent, and there's peace. Perfect peace. You see, it's his peace. As Jesus said in John 14:27, remember he said, "It's I give you my peace." And so that's why it's perfect peace. He never promised to take our problems away. We think of peace, and we think that our problems are going to... No, he didn't promise to take our problems. In fact, he promises that more problems will come when we know and follow Christ. Life gets more difficult oftentimes. He never promised to take our problems away, but rather to give us peace in the midst of our problems. Peace, not that we earn, but that we receive in him. Praise the Lord. Remember, what we earn is death. That's what you and I earn. We earn death. What we earn is condemnation. What we earn is damnation in hell. But what we can and will receive if we are in Christ is peace. And so Isaiah 25, for example, it says that he will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. I love this because that word destroy here, some of your translations, depending on your translation, it might actually say swallow up, because it's a word that means to swallow up. It's a powerful imagery that is being pictured here, because as the NET Bible, if you ever get a chance, I encourage you to get a NET Bible. It stands for New English Translation. And what it does is, unlike other study Bibles, what it does is it has translation notes, and it'll tell you why the original language, in this case Hebrew, is translated this way into English. And so I love what the NET Bible says here. It says, "The image of the Lord swallowing death would be especially powerful, for death was viewed in Canaanite mythology and culture as a hungry enemy that swallows its victims." You know, it's a horrifying thing to consider being swallowed or eaten alive by death. But the Lord will destroy, or he will swallow up death forever, right? Why is peace possible? Because the Lord is faithful, right? This is what he will do for all who turn to him. And so then we see it as we continue into the next verse. On that day, it will be said, "Look, this is our God. We have waited for him. He has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." peace is possible because the Lord, look at the emphasis here, it's the Lord, our God, Him, He, the Lord, Him, His salvation, what He does. Peace is possible because the Lord is faithful. This is His promise for those who know Him. No one else can give you that peace that we all long for. Stop looking everywhere else for it. Look to Him. Kids, in your lesson this morning in family groups, from that lesson, how do our hearts experience change and revival? Right, you talked about Ezekiel this morning. How do our hearts, how do we experience revival in our hearts? Who revives our hearts? God does. Yeah, it's not a trick question. God does. You're right, William. So God is the one who revives His people. All hope might seem lost. That's the reality. Sometimes we feel like all hope might seem lost. Everything except for peace might seem like the reality. Social media or the news or just stuff at work. Stuff with our families, things that are going on in the world around us. Everything except for peace might seem like the reality, but the Lord is at work because He is faithful. We don't have the possibility of peace because of anything else. Not peace that lasts. And so we don't have the possibility of peace because of our country. As great as it is, as thankful as we are for our country, we don't have the possibility of peace because of our freedoms. As grateful as we are for our freedoms, we don't have the possibility of peace because of comfort and security, as much as we are grateful for those things. We don't have the possibility of peace because of our jobs, even if they're great jobs. Not because of our financial stability, as much as we appreciate financial stability, that's not giving us peace. We don't have not even because of our families. As great as our families are, all of those things that we think might give us peace can be taken away like that. But peace in the Lord cannot. If it's real peace in the Lord, it cannot be taken away. He never fails. Peace is possible because the Lord is just and because the Lord is faithful. Thirdly, because the Lord is eternal. Our peace isn't fleeting like the world gives because our peace comes from the everlasting rock. Trust in Him. He is eternal. Look at verse 4 again. Trust in the Lord forever, because Yah, or Yahweh, there's always the difficulty in the Hebrew language, sometimes the way that it's written with Yahweh, the Lord. Some translations just try to make it simple and just say the Lord, and that's fine, because it's talking about the Lord. But Yah, or Yahweh, the Lord, is an everlasting rock. Here we have the necessary response to the peace that is only found in the Lord. Trust in Him. He is the Lord. He is the everlasting rock. No one else. Right, respond to God's word, respond to His promise, respond to His peace. How? By trusting in Him. He is eternal. And so only in Him can there be and will there be eternal peace. Look at Isaiah 40. I love this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to His understanding. It's the Lord alone. We can't say this about anyone else. The Lord alone, He is just, He is faithful, He is eternal. Be honest for a minute. I just want you to think about something. Think about what is the one thing, if you right now, if just one thing that if you had it right now, you'd say, you know what, I would feel at peace, or at least more at peace if I just had this one thing. And you know, a lot of times when I was thinking about this the other day, I was challenging myself of why do I struggle sometimes to be at peace. Of course, the first thing for me that pops into mind is money, right? There are a lot of people, though, who have a lot more money than you do, and they still don't have peace. And the reality is, I have a lot more money now than I did 25 years ago, but never, never in 25 years, through the ups and downs of financial stability and instability, never did more money give me more peace beyond something that was very temporary and unsatisfying. Never. Marriage, you might say, well, once I... when I just get that guy or that girl, you know, I'm gonna be at peace when I get to that place. But again, any peace you find there, if that's where you put your peace, if that's where you think your hope is, it's only temporary. Success, You might say, if I was just able to achieve this, then I'll be happy, then I'll have peace. But the reality is it doesn't satisfy. Success doesn't satisfy for very long. And then there's emptiness inside. Just ask Chiefs fans right now. I mean, I thought for sure after 3 championships in 5 years, you guys would be satisfied, but you're not. You're empty. Now, not as empty as I am, but you're empty. But because the reality is we don't consider what real peace is. We're looking at all the wrong places to find peace, to satisfy us, to find contentment, to find fulfillment. People think that peace is the absence of problems, but that's not what peace is. Peace is the presence of God. That's peace. It's experiencing the presence of God, being close to the Lord. Because He alone is just. He alone is always faithful. He alone is eternal. And so that's where we find peace, in Him. That's why I love Philippians 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Can you imagine how much better your life would be if you would follow this simple verse? I mean, this is one of the most common verses that pops into my mind. It's one of the ones we teach our kids early on. But how much better would you, what would be the result if you would simply do what this says? If we would simply follow this instruction, this would be the result. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yep, in Christ Jesus. That's the key. Right? That's the key. He came because there's no other way for you to have peace. You're not going to find it in your education or in your job or in your sports teams or in your financial stability or even in your family. You're not going to find your peace there because all of those things are up and down. Because we're a bunch of sinners who let one another down constantly. Jesus came because there's no other way for you to have peace. Not now, not ever. Not in your heart, not in your life, not with the Lord, not with others. He came to give you peace. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you would receive and celebrate the only lasting peace. When we sing Joy to the World in a little bit, will you mean it? Do you have the joy and the peace that the Christmas season is all about? Do you have that joy? Do you have that peace? Do you want to shout it outside of this building? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Do you really mean it? Because if not, will you turn to the only one who can give you that joy and peace? Will you turn to Him today? If you can't, with all of your heart, believe and say and mean, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Call upon the name of the Lord. Surrender your all to Him. If you do have that peace, how are you doing in letting the world know about it? Do you have at least one person for whose salvation you're praying? Every single day. Hey, I'm praying for this person to experience the peace that I've experienced. And what are you doing to seek to proclaim the gospel with people that don't have that peace? What next steps can you take to better live out your faith in Jesus? What's something you can do this week that would tell the world that you have the peace that is only possible in and through Christ? Yes, peace is possible. Receive it, celebrate it, help others to experience it. Father God, that's our prayer today, that you would challenge each of us in this room to have the peace that is only possible in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we are saved from our sins. We have that peace. Your Spirit, who calls us to yourself, also changes us day by day to give us more and more peace, to remind us of your presence, to convict us when we are falling short, and to help us to pursue not only peace with you, but peace with one another. So, Father, we pray for that today, that you would help us to prioritize peace in our relationships, that just as the Apostle Paul said, that we would, in any case that we're able, live at peace with everyone. Father, please help us to pursue peace I pray for those this morning who don't have that peace because they haven't yet turned away from sin and surrendered their all to you. Please give them the desire right now to call upon the name of the Lord, to surrender their all to you so that they could have peace in the relationship with you, and then that would overflow into peace in relationship with others. Father, I pray that you would use this time of response to challenge us to be sincere in how we would know and follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.